the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on covenant and or faithfulness and or fidelity. Some of you may already know the definitions. When I thought about this, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. So faithfulness is something that God wants us to be. And then when I looked at the definition of faithfulness, it was real simplistic. So it really came down to fidelity. And so I want to give you the definition up front of what fidelity is. Now I use little Siri on my iPhone to get the definition, so any of you could do it as well. And it, of course, it's in the dictionary. It is a noun, and it says faithfulness to a person, faithfulness to a cause, or faithfulness to a belief, demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. So let me say that, demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. Now there's two others, and it says sexual faithfulness to a spouse or to a partner. And then it says, the third one, the degree of exactness with which something is copied or reproduced. Some of you that were in the 70s and 80s, high fidelity was a big deal. If you remember sound separated components, you know, had an amp and then you had a preamp. And so high fidelity was a big thing. So high fidelity, meaning how accurate could we reproduce the original? So, fidelity. Now, I'm going to read, if you will, in the book of Genesis. If you need to, turn in your bulletin. It's there, 17, 9 through 22. In your Bibles, if you like. And I've entitled this, Do You Understand Covenant? Do you understand covenant? So, covenants, faithfulness, fidelity, loyalty, that kind of thing. So do you understand covenant? And it's in Genesis 17 and then 9 through 22. And I read from the New King James Version, so bear with me if you have another. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you.
Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word, and let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, again, we are grateful people that we have the written word. We do pray that you would help us to have understanding this day, and then during this time of Lent to have a self-examination and a self-evaluation of who we are to you. So Lord, as we go forth, we lift up ourselves to you and ask you to just minister to our needs and draw us closer to your bosom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. When you see a rainbow in the sky after a nice, beautiful spring shower, what do you think about? You think, oh, how beautiful those colors are. Or if you get the privilege of getting to see a double rainbow, man, sometimes, you know, you get to see a double rainbow. We've stopped and pulled off the side of the road and got the camera out and made sure that we took pictures because you don't always get to see double rainbows. But why is that rainbow even there? God's promise, God's covenant to us. Now let's look back a little bit. If you think about the person that he made the covenant with, Noah and the ark. And we all know this story, and I want to call out a couple things about that story, though. I want you to think about Noah and what he was called for standing up for the God that he had a covenant with and a love for, and one whom he was serving and being obedient to, and what the world was doing to him. If you remember, they were mocking him, weren't they? And they were laughing at him. And they were calling him a fool and how stupid he was to be building a boat in the middle of a dry spot. But now God spoke to him and God told him to do exactly what he did. And so he was faithful, wasn't he? He was loyal to the cause. He was loyal to what God had asked him to do. And he was faithful. And so here he was building this ark. Now, interesting enough, Everybody of that time frame, if you realize why God wiped all those people away, it was because of their rebellion against what God had asked them to be and to do. So they were wine bibbers and they were mocking Noah and they were living a rebellious life, which anything about rebellion is anything against God or away from God. Now, what happened there was everything was fine until when God told Noah to load up the ark with all the animals, of course, and his family. And then he told them this. He said, close the door. You remember that in the story? And I can just almost feel the intensity of Noah at that point. Of saying, God, it's not raining, it's not, you know, here all what's going to be happening, you know, the aroma and all that of all the animals and all the provisions and man, what's going to go on? I mean, I could just imagine his wheels were just a turning. But when God said close the door, people were out there laughing at Noah. Do you remember the story how it was? It was just that way. But what happened? It began to rain. Began to rain like it was raining here a few weeks ago. I mean, a flood. And then it did, and it continued to rise. And what did the people that used to mock Noah, and what did they do? Do you remember? Anybody? They wanted to get in. They were banging on the door. Banging on the door. The door that was shut to them because they were rebellious people. And here now, they're banging on the door now that it's raining and the water's starting to rise. And God specifically told Noah, do not open the door. And so he did. And all those people vanished. And so we have a promise from God, and after the fact, and you know the rest of the story, that Noah and God said, I will set this rainbow so that I promise to you I'll never flood the earth again. Now, I think we sort of take it for granted how beautiful it is, but without knowing the story, if you just looked in the sky, if you weren't a Christian and didn't know the story, you would just say, that's a very beautiful thing in the sky. Now, let me tell you something about the importance of Jewish people and Israel. How did they pass on the Old Testament before it was written? You know, we know now that in 2 Timothy 3:16 it said that the Word of God is inspired, or God-breathed. So if we think on those terms, we know why we have the Word of God, because God wanted us to have the Word of God. So He inspired humankind to write it out so that we would then be able to carry it with us and have the stories. But how did it transpire years and years and years and years and years, hundreds of years? The Jewish people, the Israeli people, they passed it on. And that's why they have these feasts every year, okay? There's a many feasts throughout the year. And what happens is they come together as families to have these feasts to celebrate historical things that occurred in the people of Israel's life. And so they come together, and when they come together, the elders tell the stories of why we're having the feast. Therefore, it's been passed on, and it's an oral tradition that is taking place. And so Israel passed on all of its history through an oral tradition. And they came together, and it's almost like if you ever come together with a family reunion and sit around grandma and grandpa and listen to some of their stories. And some of you are grandma and grandpas now. You're the ones that we listen to. But the thing is that you just go, I can't believe, is that how it was? And you learn about your aunts and your uncles or your first cousins, or how that all came about, or where we came from, or what place in the world we came from. And you go, whoa, that's amazing. But that's what the history of Israel is all about. It was passed on orally. But now, see, we take it for granted because we have the Word of God written down, and we have it called as a Bible, the canon. But I want to share this with you, that when Noah ended up getting this covenant, then we know now what the rainbow represents, don't we? I mean, as Christians. But the issue is that a lot of people, we as Christians, have a responsibility to share with people the very stories and the very things you know about God. Now, when you start thinking about, and I'm going to talk about over the next few weeks, not just our covenant with God, but our covenant with the church and our marriage covenant as well. And if you guys can recall the marriage covenant, you know, I will be there in sickness and in health, you know, right? If you get sick, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to have fidelity in our relationship. I will cleave unto only you. That means the sexual part. You know, I'm not going to mess with anybody else, but I'm only to you forevermore. Now, you know, that's heavy duty stuff. So covenant and fidelity is huge things, I think, in the sight of God. So we know about Noah. We know that we have the rainbow because of the covenant with God and Noah. But now look at what else we have. We have a covenant that now here where circumcision takes place. We know that that is an act of covenant with Abraham. Now you think about also that God has made covenant with us in that He said, if we break covenant, He actually separated a goat, separated a ram, separated a bull, and God and Abraham walked through it and said, if we break this covenant, so shall we be as these animals. Now, these animals were dead as a doornail, no longer living. So if we walk away from God, if we break our covenant, if we break our fidelity with the God who has blessed us and given us life, then what happens is we shall be as these dead animals. Now, I don't know about you, but covenant is a serious word, a serious term in the church. So when you make covenant with the church, when you come forward and become a member, it's a serious covenant. It's not something to just say, well, I'll just do it because I want to be a part of. Well, no. It's between you and God, just like a covenant with a husband and a wife. Is it between us and the neighborhood? No. It's an individual covenant, isn't it? And that when you stand before everybody, you commit yourself to that person. And I mean, it's not that person in all their family, is it? It's not. You get the benefit of all their family. Yeah, you do. But it's not, the covenant's not with all their family. It's with that individual. And you tell them and you express to them what that is in the marriage covenant. So when we think about Abraham and when we think about the covenant of God, and when we think about fidelity of how we are to be, then God is dependent upon you and I to not only be faithful, to be loyal, to have high fidelity, but to understand that when we come to know Jesus and we invite Jesus in, that is becoming a covenant between two. One, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that one and us. It's like a marriage. And if you think about it, Peter talks about it very well, not in 1 Peter 3, but the latter part of 3, where he's really talking about Jesus is preparing his bride. You know who the bride is? It's the church. Who makes up the church? The people who made covenant with God to say, I am one of you. I am. We became a part of by saying, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So we became a part of the church and we made covenant with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, I want to be a part of you. And we are joining together. That's what we did. Now, maybe everybody didn't do that. I'm just telling you, when we make covenant with God and we join Him as Savior, that's what's happening. We have come together. We have did our Colossians 2 talks about we knit our hearts and souls together in the agape love, unconditional love, unconditional love. So when we come together with God, listen, what can separate you from the love of God? Do you know that scripture? That there is nothing on this earth that can separate you from the love of God. Do you know that? That's what the scripture says. The instruction book tells us that. So when we come together in covenant with God and say, I want to be with you and you, my, if you will, lover of my soul. Hear what I'm saying. The lover of my soul. Now, in marriage, we find someone and we are, our bodies get all excited when we're around our other and that we want to get married because we want to be one. You see what I'm saying? That marriage covenant, we want to be one and we want to be intimate with one another. Well, if that's the case in that covenant, God's trying to tell us in God's covenant, He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be so intimate with you that He wants you to understand that He wants you to choose Him to be the lover of your soul. No other love. And that's, look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, number one, what does it say? That we should love God partially? We should love God sometimes. No. We should love God with everything we are. Wait a minute. How does that happen? How do you love God with every ounce of energy you are? Well, let me tell you, there's something here that's really important. If you look at Matthew 25, it talks about, you know, when I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I was hungry, you gave me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water or a drink. Listen, but then there's going to be some that said, Lord, Lord, I've done all these things in your name. And he's going to say, you remember what it says? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Now, when I say that, that means there's a day of judgment coming. Amen? Everybody realize that? If you don't realize that, you better wake up and say, hey, Brother Tony's preaching. Okay? Because there's a day of judgment coming. And what he's going to say and he's going to look at is this fidelity thing. And let me read one more time. Faithfulness to a person, faithfulness to a cause, faithfulness to a belief, demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. Let me tell you what. We have some in this congregation, been married 60 plus years. Anybody? We know. 50? Get your God, 25. When you've been married 25 years, you're committed. You hear what I'm saying? You start getting into 50 and you're going, how did they do it? And then when they get to 60, you're going, dear Jesus, bless them. Right? You think about it. That is loyalty. That is faithfulness. That is fidelity that we honor today. We honor today because it's so seldom we see it. You have to look at the old folks to see it. Because it's not happening much today. And you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of reasons, and I'm not condemning. Do not receive that as a condemnation. I'm just talking about fidelity. And it was an honor to be faithful. And when you wed, when you came, you cleaved unto them. It's faithful to have covenant. It's wonderful. It's an honor to have covenant. And here in the church, I feel we lack commitment in our covenant with God. And therefore, what happens is we just nonchalantly walk through life. And we fail to remember, why is that rainbow in the sky? Why did God give us an instruction manual if it's sitting there with dust on it and we never mark it, we never read it, we don't know it, and we wonder why we don't have blessings? I want to tell you why. Because we failed in our covenant. We've been just like the people with Noah's time. We have walked away from God. And we think we can do it on our own. And I want to say, during this time of Lent, you better really look in the mirror. And you better really get away with God and let God speak to you. Because this church depends upon you, every single one of you, to be here, to be faithful, to be loyal, to have fidelity to the covenant that you made with God when you invited Him into your heart and soul. And He expects you to be like Him. Not just doing your thing. It's not about you. If it was about you, we'd have a book written. And I put it over here. We'd have a book written over here. And it'd have your name on it. But it's not that, is it? God expects us to make covenant with Him and be like Him. Fidelity. To be as exact of a replication as we possibly can be. That's huge. Then you want to hear about scriptural holiness and why does Peter talk about living out the holy life? Because the very God that's called you into this covenant is the God that says, I can change you if you'll just let me. The problem is that we say, no, I'm happy with the way I am. I'm happy with what I have made myself. I read something last night. Who's the guy that Anthony? He's a guy that made, is it Apple or Dodd or Dead? Who's that famous guy that he died of cancer? But he's Jobs. Thank you very much. They had a little last word of testament of him. One of the wealthiest men in the world ever been. And do you know what he said? All my riches cannot buy my health now that I lie here dying and having people take care of me where I can't even take care of myself. You cannot buy your health. You cannot buy the blessings of God. And therefore, we have to realize it's not about what we have become on this earth. It's who we are in Him. And let Him live through us in whatever means that is. And so our covenant with God, just like Abraham, when God told him, listen, hey, you're going to have a child. And he laughed. Have you ever laughed at God when he said, do something? God, listen, I can't do that. Have you ever said that to God? I can't do that. Hey, honestly, have you? Be honest. Have you ever said, well, you know, Lord, I can't do that. I can't go and do that. The challenge for the preacher or whatever. Oh, I can't do that. Let me give you a scripture. Forevermore will be yours. Philippians 4:13. And you know it. I know you know it so well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who's called me according to His purpose. When you say I can't, just remember God says you can. And do you know in Luke it even says, and that's in the parallel Gospels, he even says in chapter 1, he says, in God, do you know what it says? It's a very short little sentence. In God, all things are impossible, right? No, they're possible. So who are we to tell God we can't do it? Who are we to tell God that, Lord, you know that's impossible. It can't happen. God's saying, didn't I hang up a rainbow in the sky to let you know my covenant and my word is right and it is true? And that when I make covenant with you, I am going to be there. I am going to have the fidelity of the highest amount. And I am faithful to you. And I will never, do you ever hear that scripture where it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's big words. I want to say the church today, and this all came out of prayer about our church and commitment to this church. Individual commitment to this church. That's what it came out of. Me getting on my face saying, God, what is it that this church lacks? And the word came out, commitment. And therefore I preach on covenant. Your covenant with God, your covenant with the church, your covenant in your marriage. If we understand what fidelity is all about and loyalty and faithfulness, I do know this, and I'll close with this story, and you know it very well. Years ago, when you wanted to buy a piece of property or something like that, and we're talking years and years ago, you used to just walk up to the person, make an arrangement, shake each other's hand, and say, this is the deal, and the deal was done. Because it was a man's word, or a person's word for the loyalty of their faith, of saying, I will do. Hear what I'm saying. I will do what I say I will do. I think we fail to remember what we've said we'd do to God Almighty. And I'm going to add a little sub A. If you've ever been in a situation where you had to cry out to God for help, let's say it was a foxhole. I can tell you a personal story. When I was 12, I was trying to warm up myself. I put a fireplace. We had a fireplace in our den. I went outside, got a little bit of gasoline, put it over the top, brought the gas back outside, opened up the flue. Everything I thought was just fine. Took the match off the top and struck the match, and it blew up in my face. I can tell you what I did. I wasn't even a Christian. Listen, I was a 12-year-old heathen. But I fell to my knees and I said, cried out, "Dear God, help me!" That's what I did. Instantly, I fell to my knees. "Dear God, help me!" I got up instantly and ran into the bathroom, went underneath the cold shower, and put cold water all over my body. I didn't know to do that at 12 years old. God inspired me to do that. But I cried out to God. For any of you that have cried out to God, please remember what you told him you would do. Please remember what you had told him that you would do. "I'll do anything, God, if you help me through this situation, if you'll heal me of cancer, if you'll provide for me this time of need, whatever the case, I'll do it." Let's don't forget what we did. Let's don't forget that covenant we made with God. And be faithful. Be committed to the cause and be committed to your word. And let us be having an act of high fidelity in our journey with the Lord. We have a closing song this morning, number 453. You'll join us to stand while we close out the service. As Cynthia comes and Miss Madeline comes, I would like for any of you that need to start out this Lenten season on your knees before God to say, "Lord, I don't know, maybe you do know because I've shared today and through my preaching that you realize that, you know what, when you really talked with God and you really were crying out to him, that when you invited him in and asked him to help you, that you have walked away from him and you haven't been the fidelity type person that you're supposed to be. If you need to come to this altar this morning and start out your Lenten season in a submissive way to God and say, "Lord, I want you." Maybe it's not that infidelity thing, but it's the thing that I want you, Lord, to help and work on my heart and soul during this 40 days of Lent. And that during this self-evaluation time, that I would grow closer to you. And that I would learn what it is that you want me to be and to do for the glory of the kingdom of God. If that's you today, I want you to come to this altar. Right now, as we begin to sing this song, let us begin. Let's stand.